A homicide investigation after a woman's body was found in Frio Harbour. Brittany Higgins sues and Donald Trump calls for the termination of the US Constitution. It's Monday, the 5th of December.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate.
We missed you.
Good to be back. Oh, really?
Side did a great job filling in.
She's fantastic.
She was
superstar.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. You got to be careful when you get someone so good to fill in for you when you take a week off.
First rule of
taking time off is you got to get some sort of chump to come in.
I know. Well, look, I did try my pass as I came into work this morning and it worked. So, yeah, look, that was okay. It was
that's a good sign.
First sign. Yeah,
good
yeah.
Sign. And now let's talk about this grisly discovery made by members of the general public yesterday morning. A woman's body in Fremantle Harbour. What do we know now?
Yeah, fascinating. So police are saying that they know the name of this woman, they know her identity, but they're still trying to work out whether she was murdered.
Mm.
So they're going down to the crime scene there at Fremantle Fishing Boat Harbour shortly. They're going to be examining the area. What makes it difficult is the fact the water is there. So any clues could have been washed away, but they're asking people to check CCTV, check dash cam, if they're in that Capo Dolando Drive area to see if there are any clues that will help solve the mystery as to what happened to this woman. But really disturbing. Mm. I mean, it's very close to where all those popular eateries
yes.
are there, where tourists go. Not something that you usually see in the Fremantle Fishing Boat Harbour, that's
yeah.
for sure.
We'll be watching very closely to see any news from WA Police today on that one. And now there's a new twist in the case of Perth cryptocurrency dealer Andre Rebello, who of course accused of murdering his mother 2 years ago. Now we know the police are alleging Rebello attempted to forge his mum's death certificate. He was arrested by homicide detectives last month and charged over the death of Colleen Rebello, who was found unresponsive by emergency services inside her Bicton home on May 25th, 2020. And the 58-year-old's death was not deemed suspicious initially, but then an investigation was launched into Mr. Rebello's alleged fraudulent dealings with his mother's life insurance documents some months later, which I guess shone a new light on the investigation for police. And the 26-year-old Rebello shares a young son with Perth model and influencer Gracie Piscopo. They lead a lavish lifestyle on social media anyway before these charges were laid. The police are not commenting on Colleen Rebello's cause of death, but it's understood she didn't suffer any obvious injuries. He appeared in Frio Magistrates Court on one count of murder last Tuesday. He was remanded in custody and we're back on December 21.
It just gets more intriguing, doesn't it, this case?
Yeah, we'll wait and see where it goes next. And talking about legal cases, we saw, of course, that the second trial into the alleged rape of Brittany Higgins it was aborted, with prosecutors fearing for her mental health. And that came after the first trial was declared a mistrial, after a juror behaved pretty stupidly when they were supposed to be coming to a decision. It looked up information on the internet and clear breach of the instructions from the judge. And now we're hearing from Brittany Higgins' lawyers that she's given notice that she intends to sue former Liberal ministers Linda Reynolds and Michaela Cash, as well as the Commonwealth, for around $3 million.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to really feel for her, don't you? And there's no winners in this situation whatsoever. I mean, I think when a lot of people saw that this trial was aborted, it brought up so many feelings for people. But this is the thing. Her health is number one. She obviously looks so affected by this experience, as you would be, and just really hope that there, you know, is some sort of outcome
that allows
her to be able to move on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she left the office of Linda Reynolds after the alleged rape and then went to work for Senator Cash. And this is, we're talking about back in 2019, this all happened. And documents sent to the two former ministers have set out this intention to sue for, and this is the list of things, sexual harassment, sex discrimination, disability discrimination, negligence and victimisation. Bruce Lerman, the man accused of committing this rape, of course, has denied ever having sex with Higgins. And he has given some indication that he could sue as well. And it's understood Higgins' claims include about $2.5 million for future economic loss because
she's unable to work.
As a political staffer, I think, you know, it'd be very challenging for her now. So we'll wait and see on that one. And now this is a great story. So hidden away up in WA's Murchison Desert, the secrets of the universe are getting a little closer to our grasp. You got some big science news for us.
Yes. So construction is beginning on the world's largest radio telescope. It's called the Square Kilometre Array. It's happening in remote WA in the Shire of Murchison in the Midwest. And this has been a dream of many in this field for 30-odd years. So it's going to take about 8 years for it to become operational. And what it will do is we'll listen out for signs of life and change the way that we see the universe. So it's going to be fantastic,
yeah.
You know, unless we get freaked out by what we find.
I've been up there. I've been
to Murchison.
I've been to the site.
Not to outer space.
Not lately. Because it's these little metal Christmas trees. They're about two metres tall, and there's going to be thousands of them, 100,000 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And scattered out across the there's not much up there.
Yeah.
it's an
effort by the CSIRO and about a dozen or so other countries as well. And the reason they've chosen that spot is obviously it's quite quiet, so they're able to really hone in.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be a little while. It's going to be at least, you know, 8 years before it becomes operational.
It's been a long time in the making.
Yeah.
To even get to this point. And now, this story is an interesting one to unpack. So the federal Greens have announced that they're intending to introduce a new bill to Parliament when it resumes next year to potentially lower the voting age in Australia to 16. What do you make of that?
Oh, I'm happy with that.
Would you let 16-year-olds
yes,
have a say?
Yes, why not? Well, if we're going to let 90-year-olds have a say, why not let 16-year-olds have a say?
That's right. Well, I think it would get them, you'd hope, more engaged in the political process. Like, I could see Labor backing this because you'd think letting younger people vote probably skews
towards more to the left
the
side.
Left, right? I think it'd be terrible news for the coalition if 16-year-olds got a say. We'll wait and see.
So many policies affect people of that age, so they should have a say. And if we want them to be politically engaged.
There's a few countries going down this path, right? New Zealand, I think, are looking at it.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen protests erupt in Iran in recent weeks, and they've spread to social media, celebrities, members of the public throwing their support behind oppressed women in the Middle Eastern nation. You've probably seen people on social media that you follow posting about this issue. Well, in a dramatic new development, Iran's Attorney General, Mohammad Jafar Montazeri, has said that Iran's parliament and judiciary are reviewing the country's mandatory hijab laws, which is at the centre of this controversy, right? Because there was a terrible incident involving the death of a 22-year-old Mahsa Amini in September, who died in police custody after being apprehended by the so-called morality police in that country, allegedly for not wearing her hijab properly. And that kicked off all of these protests around the world. But the interesting thing about this story is, so the Attorney General has come out and made these comments that made it seem as though, do you know what, maybe we're going to backtrack on the mandatory hijab and maybe even disband the morality police. But Iran's state-run media has basically come out and said, no, that's not happening. The Attorney General doesn't really know what he's talking
about.
What's going on? And even if he does know what he's talking about, like, the Western media are twisting his words and to make it seem as though Iran is backing down because of these protests, but they're actually, you know, we're not going to do that. Interesting, right?
It is interesting. Like, the very fact that you would have morality police. Yeah.
I know. Although it could come in handy in America. I think the morality police might lock up Donald Trump because he is copying it from the White House and his own party. Pretty much anyone with half a brain is having a crack at Donald Trump right now for suggesting that America should terminate the Constitution, which, of course, is the document that guarantees, like, all inalienable human rights.
Between him and Kanye.
Oh, we'll get to him in a minute. And so, having mostly steered clear of his election defeat and those conspiracy theories last month when he announced that he'd run for president, Trump took to his social media platform yesterday to declare himself the rightful winner 2 years ago and said it was time to throw out the 2020 presidential election result. Basically, that the Constitution didn't work, so might as well terminate it. But of course, the irony is it's the Constitution that allows Trump the right to free speech and to say all of these stupid things. And it's shaping up to be a crazy campaign, even by his standards. So you mentioned Kanye. Yeah. So Trump hosted Kanye and a white nationalist and Holocaust denier, Nick Fuentes, at his Mar-a-Lago estate just like a week and a bit ago.
What is going on with this world?
Sport.
the Socceroos did us proud on the weekend. They lost to Argentina.
Yeah, 2-1.
But it's pretty good, right? Like Messi, superstar. It's pretty hard to contain him forever. Their tournament is over, but what a ride it's been for soccer fans in Australia. France, meanwhile, sent a message to the competition with a 3-1 win over Poland. French superstar Mbappe scored a double. It looks almost unstoppable. You want a fun stat?
Please hit
me. So Mbappe currently is leading the race for the Golden Boot, which is the highest goal scorer at the World Cup. He scored 5. Just 23 years old, he's got 9 career World Cup goals, which is more than Diego Maradona ever scored in his career.
Whoa.
Yeah. Crazy,
that's impressive.
Right? Crazy, right? England are through to the quarterfinals with a 3-0 win over Senegal. So the English soccer fans are delirious at the
happy
possibilities. Netherlands knocked off the US 3-1. Not a huge surprise.
Yep.
And the Blue Samurai, the Japanese national team, look to continue their dream run against Croatia tonight in their round of 16 clash.
You're following them closely.
Yeah, I love the Blues. I was talking to some Japanese friends last night. They're very excited about the Blue Samurai.
The Wild West.
I love the top end of Australia. You know, it's Crocodile Dundee country, and as much as that's a cliche, it's kind of true. I honestly think it is. You know, like especially around the tropo season.
Well, you would know. You're
lived up there. I saw it firsthand. I knew a dude who was attacked by a crocodile. Anyway,
escaped.
Yeah, I was chased by buffaloes a few times.
Oh, really?
That was just a regular day at school. And now a Kununurra man who was bitten by a saltwater crocodile, which is, they're the big crocodiles, right? They're the ones you don't mess around with.
It was 1.5 metres, yeah, we should say. Still, it was a baby.
So he was bitten by this saltwater crocodile by a Kimberley riverside. Not only did he live to tell the tale, he rocked up at the local pub just a few hours later to tell said tale.
What a legend. Kyle Hutchinson. Who does that? Gets attacked by a croc, survives, has a big gash taken out of them, and then rocks up at the pub for a beer just to tell everyone a yarn of what happened.
Exactly.
All bandaged.
No, good on him. And he stepped in a sort of a deep hole in the river where a croc was hiding.
It was just lurking
there, not so much of a croc attack as a croc surprise response.
Okay. I think he might have called it an attack.
I think when you step on when you step on anything, I think it earns the right to bite you back, right?
You'd be freaked out, wouldn't you?
Yeah. If you're the
did you ever have any close calls with crocs up there?
Oh, we saw heaps of them all the time.
Yeah,
And occasionally, waded through crocodile-infested waters when my mum wasn't around.
They can move fast, too.
Over land and water. If you go to the Darwin Crocodile Farm, you get a good sense of what crocodiles can
do. Except, you know where they never have moved fast? At Perth Zoo. Whenever I saw the croc there, it was always not going anywhere.
I wasn't even sure if it was alive.
Yeah, I know. I don't think they were sure it was alive. Well, not anymore, anyway.
Has it passed? It dropped off the twig?
I think it's gone. Yeah, I think that pool's still empty. Every time I walk past it, there's
sad.
Nothing
Can
in
they
the pool.
Put something in there?
Oh, I don't know. Some goldfish.
Even a zookeeper. Get a zookeeper and his budgie smugglers in there. Just
to swim laps.
Some synchronized swimming or something.
It's a suggestion.
Amenity of the area. And that's your news from the West Australian for Monday, December 5. And don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. Matty, we'll chat to you tomorrow.
Will do. Have a good one, mate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.